Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
What is happening? How is everybody? Everybody good? Yes? No? Maybe so? Well, thank you guys for being here. Doug, what's happening, my man? That beard. Welcome back. Welcome back. That's fantastic. Pastor Dove is here. Can everybody make a dove sign real quick? Let's make dove signs real quick. Everybody, just humor me here. What's awesome is he goes by Dove. So when he was doing kids, you would either get Mr. Doug, which I still so affectionately call him. But then it's Mr. Dove and Dubs, but he's back in the beard. My handlebar mustache that, for those of you that doubted who is the man of our house, 7 months. Somehow. Oh, it's a miracle. Okay, let's get in the Word. First off, I want to welcome. But then, for those of you that have not been here on Sundays since we reopened or we came back in, I want to encourage you to do so. They have been unbelievable. I feel like Dad is in a vein right now that it's encouraging yet challenging. It's hope-filled. And in this time, that's what we need, honestly. I mean, that's what we need. So I'm going to tag a little bit off of some of the stuff that he talked about Sunday, add to some things. I just want to stay in that vein because I really do think that it is a vein that we need. It's one of those things that we need. You know, it's we have things, and there's things that we want, there's things that we don't want, and then there's things that we need. And I truly believe that that is the vein that we're in. So that was a double intro, but also a plug for Sundays. Let's get in the Word real quick. While you're turning to James 1, let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for every family represented in here. Lord, I call them blessed in Jesus' name. Lord, I call them healthy and whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. Lord, I thank you that through this time we grow. We grow together as a family, as a church. We become a united front. Lord, I thank you that we are able to, just like Sheldon said, we're able to gather under the banner that is Jesus. Lord, we don't take that lightly. We don't take it for granted. Lord, I thank you that these words are your words and not mine. Lord, I thank you that on this stage that I decrease so that you could increase. And Lord, I thank you that you're preparing our hearts now to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. James 1, and we're going to read a couple verses out of that. We're doing New Living Translation on this one. I'm sorry, it's not going to be on the screen. I added this one at the end or a little late, but you can turn there. James 1, 2 through 8. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Real quick, let's take a quick poll. When you have trials, who takes it as great joy? That is fantastic. Everyone in here is saved. Not one liar. Not one. Most of the time, you know, there's always like that super spiritual Christian that's like, oh, I do. No one does. But that is the time that we're in. When trials are happening, things are happening that are out of our control, and then we feel helpless. There are things that are dominoes that are happening and falling, and then we're at this place where what do we believe? What do we listen to? And I love that bumper because it's so true that we have to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word and what God says and His promise and not what the news or social media says, or it's craziness right now. So why would I add to that? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That through this testing, you're going to learn endurance. It's just like working out or running. Does anybody in here work out? I don't. 5 years. Staying strong. You guys think I'm joking. I'm not. Still pay a membership, just so you guys know. Makes me feel good. You know what I mean? It's like when you put on workout clothes just to go out. Like you got to run some errands, so you put on workout clothes so people think you worked out. Makes you feel better. But it's endurance. If you were going to go and try to run a marathon, at 235 pounds, God did not make me to run a marathon. I don't feel like this body's built for that. But I would have to train, which would then cause my endurance to go up. And then all of a sudden, that first run that is brutal isn't going to be the same. You're not going to go through that same type of pain down the road for that first time. That's what the going through the test. I know that there are things that have happened in my life where I thought that it was going to absolutely knock me out. I thought, there's no way, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And then I realized, or I would think, okay, I'm past that. Let's keep moving forward. Awesome. Well, I'm not dealing with that same thing. No, it's that it doesn't affect me like it did before. Taking that hit might have knocked me down the first time, but at this point, it might just make me misstep or sidestep or slow down a little bit to where that endurance is growing. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything that they do. Make sure that when you're coming like on that, I love that it's ask wisdom and our generous God will give it to you. I know for me, that is the current state of my life is asking for wisdom. I have three small children. And you know, the common joke is, oh, they don't make a manual. You know, people say that about parenting. Oh, they don't make an instruction book. Well, how many of you parents have had kids? You could have made one by now. That would have been great. I'm learning this as I go. But it's the constant wisdom. Because I realize that kids are different and their personalities are different. So you have to treat them differently. They respond to things different where it's wisdom. And I know that is my constant prayer is, Lord, help me just develop and be wise and discerning in how to raise these kids, how to lead them to fulfill the call that's on their life. Looking at examples and things like that are great, but really I need that wisdom. So it says to ask, and our generous God will give it to you. Now jump down to verse 12. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. I think what's hard is that is a little bit, it gets a little bit messed up, or we kind of get willy-nilly in how we talk about things, or how we talk about our theology or what we think. And really, I feel like that's something that becomes very convoluted in that, well, I ask for patience, so God is testing me with this here, or I'm doing this, and God is never, he might be testing you, he's not tempting you. I think that is something that we can get cross with that, where it's the enemy is tempting you, it's your own desires are testing you, or tempting you, it's not God. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So now that we have that trials, that tribulations are going to come, things are going to happen that are out of our control that we would rather not happen. Now we know to count it all joy when things happen, that we get excited for it because we know that endurance comes. I think what's hard is we hear those words, but does it really translate? when you're trying to figure out how you're going to get from A to B, how does that translate? I think it's amazing the story that Sheldon told about when he was first coming to church and gave the intern money. And the intern said, you know, I'm just going to do it to prove myself faithful. How many times in life are you going through something, you're not sure how you're going to make it, so then you all of a sudden change what you've been doing, the thing that's successful, the thing that has moved you forward, you change what you're doing because you think something else is better? I know for me, when I'm going through something, I want to be right here. And not only do I want to be right here, but then worship starts. I don't feel like raising my hands. I do. If I don't feel like singing, I do. Especially in that moment of temptation, that moment of trial, because I realize that I have to know what I have to do what I know to do. I know where I stand. I know the promises. I'm not going to be the one to waver. God is not going to let me down. He hasn't yet. He's not going to start now. That I know that there's a miracle on the other side of that storm. So when you're going through that storm, it's keep going. Praise in that storm. Because on the other side is a miracle or is a blessing. The thing is, we love talking about miracles and blessings. But we don't like talking about the trials and the tests that we go through. We love talking about the victory on the side, but we don't like talking about the struggle in the middle of it. When we are built for this, I spoke, I have no frame of reference anymore with the Rona, but I spoke and I talked about suffering, how the definition of suffering is to overcome, that you are an overcomer, that suffering doesn't mean that you're defeated. It means that you are enduring to overcome. So when you're going through that storm, you just keep doing what you know to do. I know that sounds so simple, but really I think we make things more difficult than it needs to be. I'm just going to stand on the promise. I know no matter what, that God is going to provide, that God's going to come through, that He's not going to let me down. We have to just keep going, keep taking steps. Dad had an example on Sunday where he talked about favor, but then tests, and how that's the one leg and then the other. And I told him after, I'm like, that was unbelievable. You don't like to think about that. Because we want to think about like the one foot that keeps going because we just love the favor side, you know what I mean? I love blessings. But then it's the test side of it. It's like, no, we love to grow, but we hate to prune. Yeah, pruning is a bummer. It's not fun. But you prune, you whine about it, you come back and look at your bush or whatever you prune, your tree, and all of a sudden there's growth. It's to keep taking steps and to keep moving forward. Philippians 2:8, and this said the New King James Version, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So in being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Who is he? Jesus. I'm working on this with my 4-year-old. I'm like, hey, when you're in kids' church, anytime they ask a question you don't know, just go with Jesus. Can't go wrong. Can't. Just do it. So I'm going to ask that again, and we're all going to get this one right. So when it says here that he found himself in an appearance of a man, who is him or himself? Jesus. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus here. That Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus is above every name. Above every name. Not only that, but in every knee will bow. Well, every knee on earth. No. Above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth, every knee will bow. So in a time in our society, in our world, where it looks hopeless, where we don't know what to believe in everything that's going on, how in the world can we still have hope? Think about it. Like, how can we have hope? How can we be hopeful for the future? How can we look at the future and have any bit of a smile on our face? Because the name of Jesus is above every other name. Because every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So whatever's going on doesn't matter to me. Because I know where my hope is found. My hope's not found in whatever that one weird girl I went to high school with and what she says on Facebook. My hope isn't found for the people fake caring about whatever's dealing with going on today. And they're experts all of a sudden. My hope isn't in that. My hope is in the Word. My hope is in that no matter what, God has my back. That no matter what, His promises are going to be realized in my life. Philippians 2, and we're going to read 12 through 16 here. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show results for your salvation, obeying God with deeper reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So I break this down in the lowest form. And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, how can I relate that here? It's when you are in this building, it's pretty easy to be a Christian. It's pretty easy to make the right decisions. It's easy. Easier. We'll go there. It's easier here, but as soon as you step in your car, it gets a little more difficult. And then you get home, and the kids don't want to sleep. Or maybe your sister gets engaged, so your wife leaves and leaves you with 3 kids, 4 and under, for 78 hours. I'm there. 77 hours, just so you guys know. Cass, if you're watching this, please come home. Hurry, please. No, it becomes more difficult as things happen if you're not, A, if you're not in the Word and renewing your mind, but then B, think about it if you're missing weeks, if you're missing services. Sometimes, like, man, I just got to go back and find center. I got to go back and just find where my place is. This is a place that can help you find that. This is a place that can put you where you're supposed to be and then help you move forward. Verse 14, do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining. Everything. Everything. Ah, man, I don't want to come to church. Well, you know, I got to, it's Wednesday night, it's hard. I got kids, it's hard. Work during the day, it's hard. How about you put a smile on your face? How about you be an example to the people around you that you are happy to be in the house of God? I get it. We're halfway through the week. It's nighttime. You're sleepy. You're thinking about the stuff you have up ahead of you. No, it's, we have the honor and privilege of being here. We get to meet under one banner, under one name, and just spend time with each other. So many people are isolated right now, and before this, we would say, well, you know, in America, we can do this. Well, now that's not the case everywhere. So now when I'm coming to church, there's a purpose behind it. Because I don't know about you guys, it's hard for me just to watch on a computer screen or a TV. That doesn't translate there. Where here, it's no, I need to get back in line. Let me get back in center and in my lane, and I'm going to stay there. But when you start to waver, to fade off, you almost have to, you just got to bring it back. And this is a place that can do it. But do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. First off, I love little things in the word, like in this, and I, you know, Saul, then Paul. He's gangster, just so you guys know. He's basically saying, hey, don't screw up. So this whole thing, my whole life wasn't useless. I mean, think about that. Like, he's relying on other people for his life not to be useless. Not to be just in vain, that it wasn't all a waste. But do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in the world, full of crooked and perverse people. I think what's hard is we want to act like all this stuff is new. Well, the world's just, oh, it's, they're crooked. They're all crooks. Oh, it's all perverse, and we're acting like this is new. No, it's been this. I would argue the problem is we have technology, so we know now. But in all reality, it's always been like this. None of this is new for God. None of this is new. He still has a plan. It's good. It's not evil. He still has a plan. Wow, do you think that the Rona really threw God off track? You think he caught him by surprise? No, there's still hope. He's still in control. His promises are still yes and amen. That's an amazing thing to stand on when everything else you look at is doom and gloom. And in all reality, it's always been like that. But it's just in a different form now. It's a different doom, a different gloom. You know what's crazy is all of that can be different, but there's been one thing that's remained the same. And it's that real thick book with the tiny little pages. That has been the same from start to finish. God has never let anybody down. Not once. Not even Garth Brooks in his unanswered prayers. Not once. He's not going to start with you. So keep doing what you know to do. Keep standing on the promises. Keep standing on the word. And I want to tell you one thing, and another thing, thinking about this, just the trials, the tribulations, some stuff that's really been rising up in me is when we're going through storms, we want to look at the miracle or the outcome. And then we get through that storm to that miracle, and all of a sudden we relax a little bit, or we think that that's like a one time. Well, God's going to do a miracle two times in my life. So do I want to use it up or do I want to? No, it's keep standing on the promise. Keep know that God's going to come through. How many people listen to worship music? Anybody? Okay. So Elevation just came out with a new album. And they have a track called Rattle. It's one of my favorite songs right now. But there's a line in there where he says, just ask the man who was thrown on the bones of Elijah if there's anything that he can't do. What's interesting about that is I vividly remember being in high school and reading that and thinking, because what happened was it was that Elisha had died, they buried him, and then it was talking about how when every so often there would be a group of raiders that would come into the town, and they would raid the town, and while they were burying a man, the raiders came, they saw him, and they threw him into Elisha's grave. His dead body hit Elisha's bones, and the guy came back to life and got up and walked off. And then it literally just moves on. You know what I'm talking about? Just moves on. Like, that's all it talks about. It's like, yeah, this man was dead. They were burying him. He hit the bones. He came back to life. Well, then this king did this. And I'm like, wait. I remember being in high school and reading that. I know, super spiritual. I was reading the Old Testament in high school. Not a big deal. It wasn't. It was by choice that I went to Christian school. It's not true. I just needed it. Yeah, I needed it that time. But I remember reading it and thinking, how are they just going to move on from that? Like, the man's dead, he has bones, boom, back to life. And then you start talking about something else? Like, I'm back to that. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you guys know that, but that's pretty cool. But here's the revelation that I had. That's every day. That's the God we serve. That I'm not saying don't celebrate those miracles, but live a life that those miracles happen. Live a life that you're in a place to receive those miracles. Quit worrying about being tempted. Quit worrying about arguing or complaining. Live the life you're supposed to live and be in a place where you can receive those miracles. I mean, it's just being in that place, being in the right place. You know, it's, hey, right place, right time. That's how it worked out, just right place, right time. No, it's called favor. That's what you walk in. And being in the right place puts you in a place to receive that favor. So then let me spin it. I've said multiple times, but everything changed when we had our first kid. My mindset changed. It is no longer me. It is all about them, the legacy, the future that they have. So now, and I will say, we have been absolutely blessed. My wife, my kids, we've been unbelievably blessed. 100% God, none of it is me. But I have and will continue to say that because my parents did what they were supposed to do, it put me in a place to be able to live this unbelievable life. So for me, what I'm going to do is do what I'm supposed to do, so then Charleston, Trip, and Delta, and then however many more kids my wife thinks we're having. So many. What's bad is I saw, side note, we were out to lunch, and I saw a family, and they had 5 kids. And they were with the parents and the 5 kids, and they were all sitting down, and I just made a comment. I was like, wow, that's a lot of kids. It's a big family. And then I started counting them. Cass wants 6. I'm not going to act like I'm going to be the first man that's like, oh, tell my wife no. It's not. I'm not going to do that. But I remember counting them, and I think, oh, man, that's going to be me. Plus another one. So I better live a right life. Be where I'm supposed to be, because there are 6 lives that are affected. And then however many more from there. But me proving myself faithful, because I saw an example of a man who proved himself faithful, that now my son won't have a choice but to be faithful. Because he's seen the example. You might not have had that. Start with you. Generational stuff can stop with you. You can change those. You can change the course or the tone for your family. When I think about that, I think about like the small towns and how there's a name. There's always a certain thing tagged to that name. It's, oh, they're so-and-so, or oh, they're the good or bad. No, I had an unbelievable life. I'm going to make sure that my kids have better than I did. They're going to break this up. All of a sudden, the little temptations where it's, oh, I can do this, or oh, yeah, that's not a big deal. I can do that once, because I'm the king of justifying. I can justify anything, literally anything. You name it, I can help you justify it. But when it comes down to it, is it worth me not being the gatekeeper of my home for that? Is it worth me letting in something that my kids are then going to have to deal with? All of a sudden, it's not that big of a deal. That's easy to say no to. But there's purpose behind it. There's a reason behind it. So count it all joy when you're going through trials. It's not fun. It's a bummer. Nobody likes to be in the storm, but I'll tell you what, when we're on the other side, I am so happy that I kept going while going through that storm. I'm not going to say I was happy I was in the storm, because it's no fun. But on the other side, I'm happy at the results. I'm happy at the things that happened, the developments that happened, the pruning that happened, the endurance that was built because I went through that storm. So I want to encourage you with this. If you're going through a storm, whatever it is, don't stop. Don't complain. When you're in it, don't complain. Stand on the promise. Praise in it. Know that the name of Jesus is above whatever you're going through. And know that you're going to come out on the other side. Because you will. And while it seems like so long, once you're on the other side, you're so happy that you went through it. I mean, I remember being a kid and hearing like, oh, next year. And I'm like, a year? 365 days. You know how long that is? Now I'm 34 and I'm like, what year is it? I can't imagine if I was old. No, I mean, think about it. It's not that long. Whatever you're going through, it's not that long. How you can make it through is you wake up the next morning and you do what you're supposed to do. You stand on the promises. You have full and complete faith. Don't complain. And then watch how God comes through. Watch how he backs it. All of a sudden you're like, man, doors just started opening. Yeah, it's favor. God will open doors for you, but you got to walk through them.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.